This is DW News, and these are our top stories. Dutch health authorities say the new coronavirus variant Omicron was already present in Europe before it was reported on November 24th. The Dutch Health Institute found samples from patients dating back to November 19th that already contained the variant. In the meantime, Brazil confirmed two cases of Omicron, the first in Latin America. Police in the U.S. state of Michigan say a 15-year-old opened fire on fellow students at a high school, killing at least three and wounding six others. The suspect was arrested and a semi-automatic handgun recovered at the high school just outside of Detroit. Entertainer and civil rights activist Josephine Baker has become the first black woman to be honored at Paris's Pantheon Mausoleum, almost half a century after her death. Baker was born in the U.S. but moved to France in 1925. As well as her artistic career, she also played an active role in the French resistance during World War II. This is DW News from Berlin. You can get more on our website. That's dw.com.
The number of new coronavirus cases in Austria, the Netherlands, and here in Germany is now double what it was at the peak of last winter. Doctors say the only way to turn this around is to get more people vaccinated. But how? Well, perhaps by giving them no choice. Here in Germany, mandatory vaccinations for everyone could come by February, and it will reportedly have the backing and the blessing of Olaf Scholz, the man who will become Germany's new chancellor later this week. Tonight, the politics of this pandemic. Suddenly a rethink of what was recently unthinkable. I'm Brent Goff in Berlin. This is The Day.
We believe that it is too soon to tell of what the level of severity is.
The research that we have started right now could definitely lead to maybe earlier infections, but that's not sure yet.
We have the tools and surveillance in place to identify the Omicron variant. We also have the tools to prevent Omicron from increasing the strain on our society and our healthcare system.
What we're doing is taking some proportionate, precautionary measures while our scientists crack the Omicron code.
Also coming up, Josephine Baker remembering an American black woman who gave her song and spirit to the fight for freedom and for France.
In 1939, she met Captain Apte, the head of the counter-espionage office in Paris. At first, this man was a little afraid. He wondered what she could do. She said to him, "Sir, I want to give myself to France. Do with me what you want."
Well, to our viewers watching on PBS in the United States and to all of you around the world, welcome. We begin the day here in Europe knowing more today than we did yesterday about the new Omicron coronavirus variant. And this is when a matter of days matters. Today, the Netherlands confirmed that two people there tested positive for the Omicron variant more than a week ago. Now, the world first learned of the new variant just 5 days ago. And it shows just how little we really know right now about Omicron. Well, today, German Chancellor Angela Merkel and the man who will replace her later this week, Olaf Scholz, met with Germany's 16 federal leaders to discuss how the country should move forward in dealing with the pandemic. No decisions were announced. We don't expect those to come until Thursday. And that's despite the spiraling number of new cases and the new variant that has been detected here. Well, for more now, I'm joined by Paula Picciotta. She's a member of the German Bundestag for the Greens, and she is also a physician. It's good to have you on the program. I want to start and ask for your reaction to this report that is coming out tonight that Olaf Scholz, set to become the new chancellor, reportedly saying that he would back mandatory vaccinations for everyone in Germany as early as February.
I think we have to acknowledge that public support for general vaccine mandates is surging, and also many of my colleagues are now understanding that we won't prevent a fifth or sixth wave of COVID infections if we don't have vaccination rates above 90%. And it's quite unlikely that we are going to have vaccination rates above 90% without vaccine mandates. And that's why the discussion about vaccine mandates is very likely to be held in Parliament quite soon.
And is that going to be the new government stance? You're not going to support new lockdowns, but you are going to support requiring everyone to be vaccinated?
I think it very strongly depends on what you call a lockdown and what not. We are discussing very strict contact restrictions, especially for people who are not vaccinated. But yes, it's true. We are going to see if there is a majority in Parliament for general vaccine mandates, and I think the decision about that is going to be made in the next weeks.
You know, we have seen protests in Austria, for example, on news of the mandate there. Do you expect to see that type of public outcry if the new chancellor says, yes, we are in favor of requiring everyone to get their shots?
First of all, we do already have anti-COVID measure protests all over Germany, especially in the state where I'm from, in Saxony. And to all those people who say that vaccine mandates would lead to further disruption of society, I say the current measures, the need for prolonged anti-COVID measures because not enough people are vaccinated, those are causing more disruption in society than any vaccine mandate ever could.
And is there a plan, if the mandates are put into force, if people resist and just say, no, I will not be vaccinated, and civil disobedience, if you will, is there a plan on how to enforce the mandate?
I mean, this wouldn't be the first vaccine mandate in history. We've had vaccine mandates before, and in fact, we currently do have measles vaccine mandates, for example, for healthcare workers. So it usually works with monetary fines, and of course, people are not going to be dragged to vaccination places, but it's very likely that there are going to be fines. However, this is going to be part of the discussion that is going to be held in Parliament.
And, you know, there are already fines for people who, for example, don't get their children vaccinated against polio. But you still have people who resist. Do you think that fines in the pandemic would be any different or would be any more effective to get people to change their minds?
I do think, I mean, we currently do have fines for parents who don't get their children vaccinated against measles. And we do see that many parents in the end do opt for vaccination because it's just too big a hassle to stay with your decision to not vaccinate. I think for many people, this is going to be a very strong, very clear reason to opt for vaccination. And but of course, we are going to talk about how big those fines are going to be, if they have to be paid yearly, if there's other measures that can be taken for people who don't want to vaccinate. But I think this discussion needs to be held in the next weeks. I think that we do have, as a society, we do have to accept the fact that after multiple virus variants, we now have a virus that requires vaccination rates so high that they can't be achieved in Germany without mandates.
Ms. Schulte, I mean, a lot of people hearing you will agree with you, but the voters in your constituency there in Saxony, a lot of them don't agree with what you're saying. Are you concerned that if a mandate is enforced, that could trigger voters to go to the polls in the next election and to voice their dissent, and it could cost you your seat in Parliament? Are you worried about that?
I think that's if at all, a secondary concern. I'm much more concerned about people who are vaccinated, who got vaccinated, hearing that this would mean that they would get freedoms back, that the situation would become better if they are vaccinated. And now, especially those people who are the majority, even in Saxony, way more than 50% are vaccinated here, I'm way more concerned that those people could lose trust in government and politics as well. And I think when it comes to decisions like vaccine mandates, we have to carefully balance all those arguments in favor and against vaccination mandates. And especially if I look at the Saxonian society, I do think that vaccine mandates are required.
Paula Fischotte, a member of the German Parliament with the Greens, we appreciate your time and your insights tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
NATO foreign ministers are meeting in Latvia to discuss a response to Russia's military buildup on its border with Ukraine. About a month ago, the U.S. reported that Russian troops were gathering in large numbers in several cities near the Russian border with Belarus and Ukraine. Russia says it's free to station its troops anywhere on its territory and it insists they pose no threat. But NATO and Ukraine say Moscow may be preparing to launch an attack.
Russian troops near the Ukraine border in early November. The U.S. called it unusual activity and raised alarm over a possible invasion. Ukraine responded with its own show of force, military exercises in its border region.
We have complete control over our borders, and we are fully prepared for any escalation.
NATO pledges its support to Ukraine and is warning against Russian aggression.
It is also clear that if Russia uses force against Ukraine, that will have costs, that will have consequences, and therefore we continue to call on Russia to de-escalate.
Tensions are rising between Russia and the West over Kiev's renewed bid to join the NATO military alliance. For the Kremlin, any expansion of military aid to Ukraine is a red line.
We can't ignore these threats to the security of Russia. We will react to them as appropriate, adequately to the situation.
Ukraine already had a war scare with Russia earlier this year. In April, Russia deployed tens of thousands of troops, aircraft, and missiles within striking distance of Ukraine. Moscow called it a military exercise, and after weeks of posturing, said the troops were being withdrawn. Western military experts say the maneuvers this November were less visible, perhaps on purpose.
We don't have clarity into Moscow's intentions, but we do know its playbook.
What Ukraine and the West fear is a repeat of 2014, when Russian troops entered Ukraine, followed by the annexation of Crimea, and a bloody war between Russia-backed separatists and Ukrainian troops in the eastern Donbas region. Despite several attempts at peace talks, it's a fight with no end in sight.
Well, ahead of today's meeting, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken warned Russia that any aggression against Ukraine would trigger, and I'm quoting here, serious consequences. Now, earlier, we asked Latvia's defense minister how he would like NATO to respond to Russia.
One question is how NATO as an organization should respond, but I would also ask a question, how do separate nations and European countries are responding to the crisis or possible crisis between Ukraine and Russia? And I'm kind of a little bit ashamed, coming from the Baltic countries, knowing also our history, when there have been still 20, 30 years ago talks about red lines, we cannot, you know, just challenge, we should step back. You see, I'm ashamed that there are only a few countries which in the last 5 years have been actually capable and willing to support Ukraine also militarily, because this is a nation which is standing for its borders, for its freedoms. And at this moment, if I'm correct, there is only Canada, United Kingdom and United States, which is ready to sell, for instance, military equipment to Ukrainian army and to assist with also their transformation on the army, while other European nations are thinking that if they will not support Ukraine, they can preserve peace. Peace is a very good thing, but sometimes...